Here's the ewes and the lambs, here's the hogs and the rams, and the fat weather stay, we'll make a fine show.
We'll pipe and we'll sing love, we'll dance in a ring love, when each lad takes his lass, all on the green grass. And
these are all picked out ready to go to market now. I done that earlier on, and now it's a case of just getting them ready to load up to take in.
And they're this year's lambs. They were born when?
They were born March, mid-March, early April. They are the earliest of them of my lot, so that's right.
My months in the country began with lambs way back in January, so I thought I'd see how they were getting on. As you can hear, the answer is they're big and they're loud. We brought a dozen of them 10 miles up the valley to Canterbury Market, and George Palmer's hoping for a good price. I may or I may not have been helpful here. George was a bit held up waiting for me to park, and as a result, his bunch, minus four, who didn't quite make the desired weight, were first in the auction. That was nice for me, because it meant I could get away early. Possibly not so good for George.
And then they draw out, and then they started that particular pin, so if you happen to be the one just in front of that, you're the last one to be.
Right.
So things in roundabouts, really. Sort of, I mean, sometimes it's useful because the buyers are getting a bit desperate and they're all fighting for the last few pins. Another time it's the other way around, so.
Yeah, I suppose it's more likely they sort of sit on their hands a bit to kick off with, see how things are going.
That's right, yeah.
Fingers crossed for the draw, then. The little fellows, well, they're quite big fellows, really. They're making all that noise for a good reason.
You can hear I've only just taken them away from Mum, actually.
Yes, I can hear them calling for Mum.
Something almost poignant about that, actually.
Yeah.
It's quite sad, really. There you are, one has to steal oneself to satisfy the bank manager.
That's right. Which goes to show that a farmer is more tender-hearted than a bank manager. But then almost anybody's more tender-hearted than a bank manager. The poor mother ewes at least had the consolation of keeping fairly cool. Sheep shearing's more or less finished by now. At George's Heritage Farm Centre, one of the ladies, a Southdown, lost her wool in full view of the public.
This Southdown wool was usually used, or was mainly, for baby clothes and that. So it's very, very fine. Very, very short, as you can see. And it's very crimp. It's very tightly sprung.
Well, there you are, nothing like Southdown wool. But for home spinning, with an old-fashioned spinning wheel, George recommends another wool from a different breed, the Portland.
In the story, the legends of them came off the Spanish Armada ships and swam ashore when they got sunk in the Channel.
That's Portland down in Dorset.
There could be a hint of truth in it because the wool is slightly towards merino-y, South European. I mean, after all, we know they did have livestock on for fresh meat, so. It might not be all favour. You see how it shears that much better because the wool's longer and lifts more than the tight wool of the Southdown.
But why hand spinning on an old-fashioned spinning wheel? Three old-fashioned spinning wheels, as it happens. Well, it was for a charity event called Sheep to Shoulder. That more or less explains itself. The fleece was to come off the sheep, be knitted into a sweater, a rather small sweater, I strongly suspect, and be on some small person's shoulder in rather less than 24 hours.
3 o'clock tomorrow, you hope to reach shoulder?
I think we'd be better if we say four.
Even so, you look as if you've got your work cut out. I see you're wasting no time. You've got started.
We're spinning all the morning this morning, aren't we? And
yes.
Someone will start knitting this afternoon. Is that
yes,
right? Pam, actually.
Right. And then we shall have four people tomorrow
organising things.
Well, it was pretty speedy at Parsonage Farm, but nothing like as speedy as it is here at these international shearing championships at nearby Woodchurch. But speed isn't everything in these matters, as the senior judge, Mr. Godsall, explained to me.
Time is a factor, but it's not the be-all to it, because what we're most concerned with is the quality. And so they are marked with the judges that you see on the front. They are taking points off second cuts. That is, when you cut the wool twice. When you cut the staple of wool twice, it takes a year to grow the staple, and then you can spoil it in just half a second by cutting it an inch above the skin. And when the sheep go to the back, there are two judges at the back who are taking points off, and they're very strict for any cuts that are made or any wool left on. So you cannot go fast and cut the sheep and win.
Being an international contest, this of course attracted a quotient of Antipodean contestants and at least one supporter who certainly didn't come from around these parts.
No, I'm from New Zealand.
Can I ask who you are?
Carolyn Murray.
And what's your connection with the shearing business?
Well, I just came over. I've been working down in Devon doing some wool rolling with my boyfriend. After the sheep shorn, you throw the fleece out and roll it into a nice neat ball so the wool graders can sort it out.
How's your boyfriend done today at these championships?
He's in the final, actually, of the Open, so we'll have to wait and see when he finishes. He'll need some support, I think, amongst all these Englishmen.
Second ball. Might just get a sheep around Stephen Dodds by the time he finishes. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know which New Zealander Caroline was rooting for. There are two in this final of the Open, and they're both going pretty well, particularly Digger Barnes. Yes, Digger's done it. Digger Palm seems to have shorn 20 sheep in less than that number of minutes. Quite incredible. Well, after all that excitement, it's a treat to be back in the peace of Elam. Peace only disturbed by a passing aircraft. Which reminds me that it wasn't always as peaceful as this. There were times when it was distinctly unpeaceful, and one of them was the summer of 1940, the Battle of Britain. The sky over Elam was full of battling aircraft, and the very, very first German aircraft to be shot down was stored in this very same field. I'm standing in front of a picture of that plane, a Messerschmitt 109 now. It actually crashed further up the valley, but it's shown here on the hill above Elam with the village spread out in the background. And if the noise in the background makes you believe that we're still at war, you won't be very much relieved to hear that I'm actually standing in the armory at Hawkinge RAF station, only a few miles away from my house. It's all right though. Being an armory, this building has no windows, but if it had, then all you'd see on the one-time Battle of Britain fighter airfield would be acres of waving corn. The noises are coming from the background tape, playing in what dedicated hands have made into a museum of the Battle of Britain. It's a small but fascinating museum, and as well as six whole aircraft on display, there are vehicles, guns, searchlights, and a vast amount of photographs and newspaper cuttings of the time. And that picture, well, that's not of the time. It was made in 1990, and when I say a picture, I don't mean a painting.
And it's not really patchwork, and it's not really collage. It's just, we called it a fabric picture. We did separate sections of houses, trees, fields, the little train, the plane, and then it was all put together at the end on one piece of material and stretched over a frame, which of course gave us the whole picture of the village as seen from the top of a hill.
Pat Newmark and her friends of the Elam Women's Institute made that picture and presented it to the museum. And it's very fitting that the picture should come from Elam, because, as I've said, Elam was at the very centre of the air fighting in the Battle of Britain, George Palmer's cousin John, although he was a little boy at the time, remembers it very well.
Yes, that particular afternoon, it was late in the afternoon, and we were standing out in the garden, and there was this dogfight going on, and the German plane was shot down. It disintegrated. The chap bailed out. But the actual plane and most of the fuselage came down just over there and buried itself in the chalk. And I remember that very well. In fact, the Spitfire pilot, who we now know as Pilot Officer Trousdale, because we did some research on it, actually did a victory roll and came around, circled around the bungalow, and I remember waving to him, and I believe he waved back, but you know, there's probably nothing in the record about that.
John Palmer's sister Tina has memories too of the air battle, but they weren't all of action and excitement.
My mother, I think, bought parachute material, and everybody had this beautiful silk underwear, but I didn't like my knickers. They were all sort of I liked something a bit, well, claddish, I suppose. I can remember I had a little cotton dress with a pair of matching knickers, and I loved that much more than the parachute. I remember wetting those too. I was in the stack yard, wanted to spend a penny, so down to the farmhouse, in through the scullery, either jumped or stretched a little too far for the handle. That was the accident, and Minnie sorted me out. And she put me in a pair of silk pink bloomers, which she must have had to tie around my middle, because the elastic of the leg went down to my ankles. I must have looked like some sort of little Turk.
Tina no longer wets her knickers, at least I hope she doesn't, because, like her cousin George, she's on the parish council. Which reminds me that I haven't, as I promised, brought you up to date on the referendum about twinning Elam with a village in France. I'm going down to the post office to find out the latest score. Right, well, what I make it is 24-4, 22 against, and one don't know. So I'd say that was more or less level pegging, wouldn't
that's
you, Maureen?
That's very good. Yes, I think that's a good average.
Well, as I said before, so far, so good. But what about the result with George's lambs at Canterbury?
Yes. And we start this week with Mrs. G. Palmer and Sons, and the first pen there are 34.8. 34.8 they are, and what do we say for them? Who's got about what? Ooh, 26 to start me for them. 34.8, 26. Fade if you like then.
Alas, I met George a few hours later, coming out of the King's Arms. Me, that is, not George. And he disclosed that the later lots did make a bit more. On the other hand, I believe those were a bit heftier, so George and I are still on speaking terms. I hope.
When we have all shared all our jolly, jolly sheep,